Well, again, happy Father's Day to all those. And I was looking at my teaching list, and I had taught on Father's Day a few times in the past, and I said, well, I'm not going to teach on that this morning. We all know we have a wonderful Father, right? God, who's the best Father you could ever have, right? So, but I'm going to teach on something related to that. So let's, we're going to open with Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 6 this morning. We'll start in the Gospels. And, you know, Jesus Christ was not only a complete Savior and a great deliverer, he was also a great teacher, okay? We learned last week how he taught the disciples about the coming of Holy Spirit, as well as how he would be a sacrifice for mankind and many things about God, right? But one of the greatest things he taught was about kingdoms, spiritual kingdoms, and in particular, the kingdom of his Father. Okay, so what is a kingdom? Okay, a kingdom in its simplest definition is what? Where a king reigns, right? So who calls the shots? Who makes decisions in a kingdom?
The king.
The king. Is it a democracy?
No.
Is it a republic? No. It's a kingdom where the king calls the shots. Okay, the kingdom of God is where God reigns. Okay, it's not so much that certain geographical area. We think of heaven as, you know, the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven, but it's as much as where God's desires are accomplished. Okay, we could describe the kingdom of God as the reign of God, where God exercises his authority, his will, his desires. Okay, remember when Jesus Christ taught the disciples how to pray? He said, thy will be done. Referring to God, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? Okay, so one of Jesus' great teachings on the king on kingdoms is the Sermon on the Mount, which is found in Matthew chapters 5 through 7, right? But there was another great sermon he taught called the Sermon on the Plain. Okay, it wasn't on a mountain top; it was on the plain. We're all reading Luke chapter 6. Let's turn to verse 17 in Luke chapter 6. And this is the Sermon on the Plain. So we'll start at verse 17. Can someone read verses 17 and 18 for me?
And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed.
And they were healed. Okay. Jesus Christ is healing the sick and casting out devil spirits is certainly bringing the kingdom of God to earth, isn't he? Verse 19. Laura, can you read verse 19?
And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all.
Again, he healed them all. Okay. You know, this is an example of the two spiritual kingdoms. As outlined in John 10:10, you don't have to turn there, but I'll read it. John 10:10, the thief, and who is the thief?
Yeah.
The devil, right? Cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. So what's the motives of the devil? He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. I am come, Jesus Christ, that they might what? Have life, and they might have it what? More abundantly. Okay? There are just two spiritual kingdoms, no more than two, right? One ruled by the thief, better known as the devil, who was given dominion over the earth when who sinned, Adam sinned, right, in the garden, and the other run by God, the kingdom of God. Being possessed by devil spirits and being sick belong to which kingdom?
The devil,
right, the thief. Okay, casting out devil spirits and healing the sick represents which kingdom? God's, right. Which kingdom would you want to be part of?
Yeah.
Okay, it's pretty obvious. Okay, Matthew chapter 4. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. We'll just read the one verse. And Joe, when you're there, could you read verse 17 for me? Matthew 4, 17.
Matthew 4, 17.
Mm-hmm.
From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
So what's it mean to repent?
Change your mind.
Thank you. Change your mind. Okay, change your thinking. What is Jesus Christ saying here? He says the kingdom of God is present. Jesus Christ was on earth revealing his Father and his kingdom. There's going to be some changes coming, right? So just like the handwriting on the wall. Remember in Daniel chapter 5 with the king Belshazzar? He was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And he was, the Persians and the Medes were knocking at his wall or on his door and ready to conquer him. He knew he was done. He was finished, right? So he throws a big party, but during the party, he sees the handwriting on the wall, which said, God has numbered your days in your kingdom, you know? So this is kind of like an example of, you know, Jesus Christ brought the reign of God to earth. The devil had to know when Jesus Christ came and was healing the sick, casting out devil spirits, what's happening to my kingdom? He's defeating my kingdom. I don't have power over him, right? So Jesus Christ here is bringing the reign of God to earth. And who was the loser? The devil. Whose days are numbered?
The devil.
The devil and his kingdom. And who are the winners? Those who believe on Jesus Christ, you know? So it's best to get on the winning side, isn't it? You know, a thing about kingdoms, a major point about kingdoms, is they have a pattern of values. You know, what its objectives are and how it achieves those objectives. So let's get back to the Sermon on the Plain of Luke chapter 6. And we'll pick it up where we left off in verse 20. Now, in verses 20 through 23, Jesus explains some of the values of the kingdom of God. And in verses 24 to 26, which we're going to read, he contrasts those with the values of the devil's kingdom. Okay, so let's start in Luke chapter 6, verse 20. And he, Jesus, lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed are ye poor, for yours is what? The kingdom of God. Okay, first of all, what does it mean to be blessed? Happy. It means you're happy, you're fortunate, you're well off. Okay, inheriting the kingdom of God would certainly make you blessed, would it not? I think so, right? Now, is Jesus Christ saying everyone who is physically poor gets into the kingdom of God?
No.
Okay, let's read the Amplified version of verse 20. I'll read it. And it says, and looking toward his disciples, he began speaking, blessed, spiritually prosperous, happy to be admired, are you who are poor in spirit. Okay, those devoid of spiritual arrogance, those who regard themselves as insignificant, for the kingdom of God is yours, both now and forever. I kind of like that Amplified version of that. So what does it mean to be poor in spirit?
Humble,
thank you. It means to have a humble opinion of ourselves, okay? Recognizing we need what? A savior, we need help, okay? We can't save ourselves. We were dead in trespasses and sins, weren't we? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. And when somebody gets there, can they read verses 1 and 2 of Ephesians 2?
I will. Ephesians chapter 2,
mm-hmm.
1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And you have me quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
So this refers to whose kingdom? The devil's kingdom, right?
Yeah.
So we, and you had the quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. We couldn't, a dead man can't help himself, can he? We were dead in trespasses and sins. We needed help. Verse 3, Alan can read verses 3 through 5.
Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, like that, but God,
mm-hmm.
but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and grace he has given.
And verse 6.
And have raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
There's a switch in kingdoms there, isn't it? Okay, the early verses 1, 2, and 3 talk about being in the devil's kingdom. And we're born, stillborn spiritually. We don't have no spiritual life, right? Mm-hmm. Until we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, right? And God raised him from the dead, we are spiritually dead, right? But there's a change in kingdoms. And verse 4 says, okay, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, God's plan even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made us alive together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us fit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we are now what? In God's kingdom. Can you read verses 7 through 9, Ellen?
And in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Yeah, we just can't boast, can we? But the citizens of the kingdom of God are what? They're poor in spirit. They realize they are saved by grace. Okay, it is a gift of God, not of man's work. We can't be prideful, can we? What do you do with the gift? You accept it and you use it, you know? So the opposite of poor in spirit would be what? Proud of heart, just like the Pharisees were in Jesus Christ's time. Let's turn to Luke chapter 18. This is the opposite of being poor in spirit. Luke 18, verse 9, and I'll read that. And this is Jesus Christ giving a parable again. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. That would be, trusting in yourselves would be what? Being proud in spirit, right? Mm-hmm. That they were righteous and despised others. That would be the devil's kingdom. Verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes to all that I possess. Verse 13, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Okay. Which one is poor in spirit? The publican, right? Verse 14. I tell you, this man went down, the publican, to his house justified rather than the other. Why? Because he was poor in spirit. Okay. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that what? Humbleth himself shall be what? Exalted. You know, God respects humility towards him, respecting his ways. Obedience, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Let's return to Luke chapter 6 and continue on with the values in the kingdom of God. Verse 21. Luke 6, 21 said, blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be what? Filled. What, does God have a big buffet in heaven or something? No, no, let's look at Matthew 5, verse 6, which is the Sermon on the Mount, says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Remember, God's kingdom is what? A spiritual kingdom, right? Blessed are those who recognize where their righteousness comes from, right? Believing in Jesus Christ and recognizing what a complete redeemer Jesus Christ is. Are we not sealed and filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Okay, so let's continue on. And Luke, we are in verse 20, continuing in verse 21. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. You know, there are no guarantees of lack of problems in this world as a Christian, are there? But when shall we all our tears be wiped away? Christ returns. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 21. This is such a great verse that we have to turn there. Revelation 21, verse 4 tells us when all the tears will be wiped away. Revelation 21, 4. And someone there want to read that?
God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.
Amen to that. Look at all that the good stuff there. No more tears, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. You know, isn't that a wonderful promise? Guarantee. And when does this occur? In the future paradise administration, right? Okay, let's return back to Luke chapter 6. and continue on with the Sermon on the Plain. 22:22 says, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. It doesn't mean not for just being a jerk, okay? You can be a jerk and have men hate you, but this is for the Son of Man's sake, for speaking the word, basically. Verse 23, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. You know, these things Jesus is talking about, of the values of the kingdom of God, okay? This is an upside-down kingdom. By that I mean, you know, its values are not the values of this present world, are they? Okay. Blessed when men hate you for the Son of Man's sake. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Not quite the important stuff you find in today's world, do you? No. Well, what is important in today's world, run by the king of this world, the devil? Okay. Let's continue reading in Luke chapter 6. Remember, verses 20 through 23 were the values of God's kingdom. Verses 24 through 26 are the values of the devil's kingdom. Let's read verse 24. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. I'm going to read the Amplified version of this verse. Okay, it says, but woe, judgment is coming to you who are rich, and place your faith in possessions, while remaining spiritually impoverished. For you are already receiving your comfort in full, and there is nothing left to be awarded to you. You know, money, wealth, to have lots of it to the point that you are comfortable, and define that. I mean, once you're comfortable, you want more comfort, don't you, if you have money? You don't have to worry about anything because you have money. How relevant is that today? Very relevant. Probably the number one goal of many people in today's world, isn't it? Let's turn to Luke chapter 12. See what Jesus Christ said about that. About money and possessions. Luke chapter 12. Don't get me wrong. Having money, having possessions is not wrong in and of itself, okay? But putting your faith in your possessions and money is, okay? Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Again, Jesus teaching and saying, and he saith unto them, take heed and beware of what? Covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses. How many people today in today's world think that their life is a success when they have many possessions, or define themselves as a success because they are wealthy, okay, in monetary means? This is the devil's values, right? Verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? Verse 18, and he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That would be the values of the devil's kingdom, right? You got lots of money, now enjoy it the rest of your life, right? Verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, he will die. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Verse 21, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. Okay, if you have some possessions, doesn't mean you go out and give all your possessions to the poor, does it? But you have to be rich towards God. Okay, a man's life does not consist in a man's possessions. You know, so the bumper sticker, sometimes you see the man who dies with the most toys. Is that a biblical bumper sticker? No, it's not, is it? Is it? It should read, perhaps it should read, the man who dies with the most toys is still dead, right? But what is Jesus Christ saying in verse 15? I did not come to get you the things you think you cannot live without in this natural world. Mm-hmm. I did not come to get you the things that you think are your life here on earth. Lord, give me the things I need now. Okay. What are you what you're living for is all wrong. I have come to give you life itself, eternal life, spiritual life, a relationship with God himself. That is what you truly need to be rich toward God. Okay, let's return back to Luke chapter 6. Back to the Sermon on the Plain. And again, we're looking at the values of the devil's world, which is the world we now live in. Verse 25. It says, woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Again, let me read this from the Amplified Version. Woe to you who are well fed, gorged, satiated now, for ye will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, enjoy a life of self-indulgence, for ye will mourn and weep and deeply long for God. Pretty impressive. Pretty cool, isn't that? Verse 26, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. How many of us still fall in this trap? I do sometimes. We strive for recognition in this world, okay, which is just what? Pride. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. So slight deviation here.
Yeah.
Galatians chapter 6. We'll start in verse 7. Can somebody read verses 7 through 9 when they get there?
Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Isn't that wonderful? Pretty plain and pretty, doesn't mean much explanation there, does it? What does today's world, sowing to the flesh, value? Power, comfort, success, recognition. That's what they value. That's what they... The world says these are things you should strive for and put your effort in, correct? This is the natural kingdom because it seems so utterly natural to strive for these things, does it not? Strive for power. Strive for comfort. Strive for success. Strive for recognition. It's the kingdom of the now. It's the now kingdom, okay? But there's a problem with the now world. It's temporary. It's fleeting. It does not end well. If you build your life around your wealth, you someday will lose it or leave it your wealth to your descendants, some of whom may squander it. Listen, you guys. If you build your life around your beauty or physique, your beauty will what? Fade. Okay? Your muscles will eventually atrophy. No offense. If you build your life around your career, you may lose your job someday, or you may retire like Mike Moore in a few months. If you build your life around your loved ones, they may leave you or eventually die. If you build your life around your athletic achievements or awards, they will eventually be surpassed, okay? This now world is a temporary world, okay? The values of this now world are fleeting and will fade. Let's read verse 8 again of Galatians chapter 6. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap what?
Corruption.
It's temporary, okay? It's going to end. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap what? Life everlasting. Hallelujah, huh? You want to take the corruption or you want to take the everlasting life? You know?
The life.
There are two ways to invest your life. There's two kingdoms, the kingdom of the flesh and the kingdom of the Spirit. Where do you invest your time and efforts? Okay. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5. The Epistle of John, 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John 5, verse 4, it says, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Mm-hmm. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So what do we believe in? Verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that, what? Jesus is the Son of God. As born again ones, we are now members of the kingdom of God. And how do we get in? By believing in God's plan of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Was that so hard? No. But with those with pride like the Pharisees, it's impossible. We can now continue to believe what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. That is, build your whole life on what he has done for me, what has made me to be a son of God, an heir to his kingdom, righteous, holy, endued with power on high, lovely in his sight, or you can continue to try to be your own savior by keeping the law. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, 1 chapter before verse 5, or 4 chapter 5, 1 John 4, 4. Says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is what? In you than he that is in the world. Again, the contrast of the two kingdoms. Verse 5. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. They have worldly values. Verse 6. We are of God, those who are born again. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we are of the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You are in God's kingdom now, right? You're bought with a price. You have a new Lord. You have a new identity as children of God. As in verse 5 and 6 say, they speak of the world, we speak of God. You know, I heard a teaching once the teacher once said that, you know, if you wanted to be a rattlesnake, which is kind of a, really not a pleasant thought or sight. But, you know, and wanted to stick a little rattle in your behind or something and went into a rattlesnake's den, you know, and tried to be a rattlesnake, what would they do to you? Would they accept you? Hey, brother, let's go out these mice this morning. You know, no, they would bite you and they would just bite you to death and you'd be dead, right? They don't accept you because why? You're not one of them. So why do we get upset and surprised when the world doesn't accept us? Because we're not part of the world. We are part of God's kingdom now. We're not part of the kingdom of the world. So when we try to fit into the world, we don't. We're a round peg in a square hole. You know, it's like doesn't fit because we are now new creations in Christ, like it says in 2 Corinthians 5, right? Okay. But anyways, for Romans then here, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Three more sections and we're done. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So it's okay not to fit into the world. First Corinthians 6, verse 9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? So when do you become righteous to God? When you get born again. Okay, so it's true. The unrighteous do not inherit the kingdom of God, but the righteous do. So when do you enter the kingdom of God? When you get born again. It says, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Verse 10, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. This is just an explanation of the values of the devil's kingdom. Verse 11. And such were is what? Present tense or past tense, right? Some of you, but ye are what? Present. Ye are is what? Present tense, right? A present tense reality. Ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Through Jesus Christ, we are no longer in the devil's kingdom and under the devil's values, are we? Verse 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Expedience means profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You know, we can still do some other things, as mentioned, of the world. We can still sin. We can still follow the world to some extent. but that's not who you are, okay? They are not profitable for you as a son or daughter of God. Why? We are part of the kingdom of God. Our old life is dead. Our old master, the devil, is dead to us, and he is a defeated foe. We have a new Father and a new Lord, Jesus Christ. We are in the kingdom of God, for we are partakers of the reign of God on earth today. We are citizens of heaven who look forward to the return of Christ. Philippians chapter 3, we're almost done. Philippians chapter 3. And somebody who was there, can they read verses 1 through 8 of Philippians 3?
Sure. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the conscience. Concision. I can't say that word.
Concision.
Thank you. Go on.
To verse 8, through verse 8.
For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, wherefore he might trust in the flesh. I more circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ.
You know, Paul had much success in the world, in the world's ways. Before his conversion to Christ, he was a Pharisee. He knew the law very well. He practiced the law. He had much respect among Israel. He was a success in the world's eyes, right? But now he considered all that success what? Done. Worthless to him, right? That I may win Christ, okay? He knew whose kingdom he was part of and where his future was. I'm going to read verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by what? By faith. Let's skip down to verse 20. It says, for our conversation or citizenship is where? It's in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. You know, we don't have dual citizenship, okay? We have no allegiance to this world, the values of this world. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. And a citizen has rights and privileges in that kingdom, doesn't he? Where God's desires, God's will reigns. Let's close in Colossians. Chapter 1. And we'll read verses 12 through 14. So again, we don't have dual citizenship, okay? Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or worthy to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated or given us citizenship into the kingdom of his dear Son. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So, Father, we are so thankful to call you Father this morning, that you have in your word given us so much definition of who we are, your sons and daughters. We are in your kingdom where you reign. May we grow each and every day closer to you, closer to understanding your will, your desires, knowing that you're a good God, you're a great God, you're a loving God. So we pray for direction, we pray for guidance. We pray for understanding and remembering that we are in your kingdom, not in the devil's kingdom. And we have the power and authority to carry out what you will, what you desire. We thank you for that. Thank you for making us sons and daughters. On this Father's Day, we celebrate you, our Heavenly Father. And we thank you for all you have done, all you have saved us from. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So have a great week remembering God your Father. And you are in his kingdom. Mm-hmm.